Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff. We are coming to you live from our studio in sunny now, downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. We have a very, very busy show for you. Next hour, our friend, longtime friend of the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley.
What?
I know. He's going to be joining us at 11 o'clock to talk about the 2 years since Dobbs fell, the Dobbs decision. And Dr. Laura Hanks normally joins us at 11:33 for a public service announcement. She is an actual working doctor, so she has to be in the OR today.
Yeah.
So we're hoping she's going to be able to join us at 11:33. We'll see whether she can just pop in and say hello, because Dr. Lierley is the reason that we met Dr. Hanks when Dr. Lierley moved on to do some other things.
Other things?
Other things.
I hear they're cool things.
They are cool things. Nice. We're not going to necessarily talk about that today.
Okay.
But, and then during public service announcements, where we always talk about things, it doesn't have to just be OBGYN related or female related.
Yeah.
This is any kind of health question you might have. And if you have a question for the doctors, you can always email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. We're going to be talking about melanoma and skin cancer.
Okay.
Coming up at 11:33. And I have a little personal story to share with you. It's just lovely. Breaking news as we came on the air this morning. We are still waiting for a number of decisions from the Supreme Court before they wrap things up. I think they're going to wrap up their session on Friday. Supreme Court today sided with the Biden administration in a fight with Republican-led states over how far the federal government can go to fight controversial social media posts on topics including COVID-19 and election security. By a vote of 6-3, the justices threw out lower court rulings that favored Louisiana, Missouri, and other parties who claim that officials in the Biden administration leaned on social media platforms to unconstitutionally squelch conservative points of view. Justice Amy Coney Barrett writing for the court that the states and the other parties did not have standing, so they did not have the legal right to do this.
Yeah.
They're really upset that they can't say that you should inject bleach.
They also can't say that the election was an all-in-all, like...
stolen.
Stolen lie. Just everything, you know, and the crazier the lie gets, the more they're upset that we can't say it. That's
and spread it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The case is among several before the courts affecting social media companies in the context of free speech. In February, the court heard arguments over GOP passed laws in Florida and Texas prohibiting social media companies from taking down posts because of the views they express. In March, the court laid out standards for when public officials can block social media followers. I understand the right to free speech, but isn't the right to free speech different than being allowed to disseminate wildly inaccurate information?
I mean, that's what I think ultimately maybe has to be decided then.
I mean, there are public health consequences because of this.
And the government should have the, if that type of quote unquote speech is what's being disseminated, the government, I do believe, has a right to shut that down in the interest of the people. And they can sue and say, you know, you don't have the right to tell me what to do. And then the court will have to weigh in, because that's ultimately a Supreme Court case as well, too. And maybe that's a new definition of the First Amendment, because not all speech is free. There are delineations of what is and what is not protected speech. So in the light of COVID-19, if you see people dying, like, I don't know, say 1.1 million people dying in this country, maybe there is a reason to take another look at this.
Well, and also, and I think it's important to remind folks that the death rate from COVID in red states was higher.
Yes.
That's been proven. That's been proven by statistics.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah. It's very much not in debate here. We were talking about it last week, actually, because I have a friend of mine who got COVID, and his roommate said, well, you mean a bad cold? And this is not, these aren't two 50-year-old guys. These are two guys in their early 20s. He's like, no, it's a bad cold, man. And I looked up the statistics, and colds kill about 3,000 people a year, maybe 4,000 people a year.
Does it turn into the flu?
No, I mean, no. Well, I don't know. But my point was is that when that in that 4-year period of time when 1.1 million people died from the same thing, it wasn't just a cold.
No,
because a cold
wasn't
doesn't
just
have this effect.
Good heavens, folks. Let's not forget that people were saying goodbye to loved ones over tablets.
Yes.
Because they couldn't be in the room with them because of this highly contagious virus.
Our guest yesterday, Eitan Levine, that's how his grandmother died. She died at the height of COVID in 2020, wrote an article about it in the New York Times. And like, I have another friend who went through the same thing, had to say goodbye to their parent over a tablet. I mean, and these are people who they're people who listen to the voices on social media saying, no, it's fine. It's
just like the flu.
It's just like
the flu.
Yeah.
And I think it's also an important reminder that Donald Trump this week said that any business executives in this country who do not support him should be fired.
Yes.
They should be fired.
Yes.
In this instance, this is more like the Biden administration going to these social media companies and saying, you know, you're actually doing active damage by allowing this kind of misinformation. People are dying because you're allowing this to be disseminated on your platforms. I think there's a little difference there.
I don't disagree.
Still no decision on immunity, on whether or not the president has full and total immunity.
That's the headliner.
Yeah, that's the headliner. And they're going to wait until Friday. This is my prediction. They'll wait until Friday, late on Friday.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go away.
And the thing is that I think they're going to do that not so much. I have a feeling they're going to come back and say, yeah, this has no standing. This is ridiculous. The president does not have unqualified immunity because that applies to all the presidents, former presidents. I think the three tops, if we'll call it, the nominees in the Trump era are really afraid to let that opinion go because he is going to lose his mind.
I'm still thinking that they're going to give him it. They're going to give it to him.
Then they have to give all the president. Bush gets it. Bush gets it.
Well,
Obama
gets
it.
Biden gets it.
Yeah, they all get it.
Unless they're going to phrase it as saying everyone but Biden gets full and total immunity.
Yeah, you have to be out of the office.
So there'll be some qualifier there. Well, anyway, we will continue to wait for that Supreme Court decision, which, again, I have no basis for this, but I just don't think it's going to come until Friday. And it'll be the last thing they do so they can all scurry away.
Mm-hmm.
Also, breaking news from overnight. It's primary election day in Colorado yesterday, and our favorite Lauren Bobo Boebert won her primary.
Bingo, Boebert.
Even after she moved to a different district because she was concerned about actually facing a challenger in the old district who could beat her. So she did win, and she credited it because she was chosen by God. At a watch party, Lauren Boebert vowed to bring the country, quote, a righteous nation recognized throughout the world again by bringing back conservative values and Christian morals. Tonight, we had a priority to glorify and honor God, to praise the name of Jesus, to invite the Holy Spirit to be present not only in this room, but in Colorado's 4th District, throughout Colorado, and throughout the U.S., United States of America. Lauren Boebert, who had a highly publicized split with her husband.
Yeah.
There were some calls to police involved with that. Also, let's not forget, she was caught on camera vaping and fondling her date, who was doing...
Hey, he was fondling, too.
Return fondling.
Yes,
it was a fondling circle.
It was mutual fondulation.
Yeah, caught on tape about that. And when she was asked about that, what was her response? It wasn't, this was inappropriate behavior because I was in a theater with a whole bunch of children. Her explanation was, I didn't realize there were cameras everywhere.
Ah, that's the reason why. That's...
Okay. Yeah, and then she lied about it after surveillance footage, because she said she didn't do it. And then, of course, the footage came out, and it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't know they...
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm not one to throw the rule about family, but she... Because she stands on the mountain of good Christian family values all the time, her family is no reflection of her ability to be a good parent.
Well, her... teenage son, she's a grandma now. Lauren Boebert became a grandma at 36 after her teenage son impregnated, I believe, a 15-year-old.
Okay.
And he has since been subsequently charged. I think he's facing 12 felonies.
Yeah.
For trying to scam an older couple or older person. Yeah. And again, I feel really badly for parents who have kids who get in trouble.
Yes.
I do. I have a lot of sympathy for you. And obviously, no parent can control everything that their kid does. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
But to stand up there and say, I don't know, maybe I'm just not being kind enough to Lauren Bobo Bobert.
Well, honestly, you think about it, she's the perfect mirroring of what Trump is to the people. She isn't perfect.
True.
She is.
None of us are perfect.
Exactly. She's sent by God. She spoke to God, and she is the imperfect vessel for Colorado's 4th district. So that's why I think she can so confidently say that she is the one for the job.
She still has to face a Democratic challenger come November. So we'll see what happens with that.
God, I really hope this person crushes her.
I don't know. She won by a large margin.
I think it was 43%.
Yeah, and it's a very, very red district. So she may just coast to another victory, and then we will be on the hook for paying her salary and her pension for the rest of her life if she gets another term in Congress. She'll be well taken care of. That's good. That's nice.
Good work if you can get it, right?
That's nice. When we return, and Gary, I see you on the line. If you can hang on for just a second, please stay there. We will come back with you. We're going to talk about California Guy versus Tammy Baldwin. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hit. She don't mean no.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a heads up, our presidential debate, President Biden and Donald Trump debating tomorrow night at 8 p.m. We will be covering it live, our pregame show, our pre-debate show program.
We're pre-gaming, people.
We're pre-gaming. Starts at 7:30 with Civic Director News, Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Words are hard. And Todd Alba, our colleague, whose show you can always catch from noon to 2 across the network. The debate scheduled to last about 90 minutes. No live studio audience. And then Terry and Todd will do a recap at the end of the debate. That is tomorrow night starting at 7:30.
90 minutes may feel like a long time.
It could feel like a lot longer. Before the brief break, we were talking about Lauren Bobo Bobert getting reelected in Colorado in the primary anyway. She won pretty handily in the primary, and she essentially said, it's God. God put me here, and because of my Christian morals, and I'm going to lead the country back to Christian morals. So 855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the conversation. Gary, thank you for your patience. Good morning. What did you want to say?
Well, there was other good news yesterday that Jamal Bowman, he ended up losing the 16th congressional in New York.
He did.
Mm-hmm. And he hates Jews.
Okay.
And he was an incumbent, and he got defeated. So this is telling me and you and everybody else that we love in America. We love the Jewish people, and we support them. And he found out the hard way. I sat there and I listened to him and AOC, and this guy screaming at the top of his lungs, using the F-bomb, which they beeped out, but you can tell what is coming out. And so I'm excited about that, and I'm sure there are a lot of people, all right? And the guy he that he lost to is obviously is another Democrat, but not extreme, crazy, Jew-hating person.
Okay, well, let's go back to Lauren Boebert, Gary, and her being the standard bearer for Christianity. Do you have any opinions on that?
No, I thought that was very nice. I'm a Christian, so I'm very happy that she won.
And you you believe she? Do you believe that she embodies Christian values?
First of all, ye without sin cast the first stone, and I would not be throwing the first stone because I'm a sinner saved by grace. And we are all sinners. So,
but she seems to she seems pretty casty to me. She likes to cast stones all the time.
Okay, well, I don't. Okay, I don't.
And really quick, Gary, I just have a question for you regarding Jamal Bowman. If there's proof that you can, I would like to read about if he is anti-Semitic. If there's any proof you can show that, rather than
he has had some pretty unbelievable statements.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, is this regards to Palestine and Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he is 100% for the Palestinians. And I'm 100% in living in peace. I'm surely not against the Palestinian people at all. They're kind of victims of Hamas, you know?
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you on that, Gary. I think Hamas is a terrorist organization. Do you think we are a Christian nation and we should declare as a Christian nation, Gary?
No, I believe that everybody should have a right to believe whatever they want to. As a Christian, I do. But it is my duty as a Christian. I mean, I own a heating and air conditioning company. I don't sit there and preach to my customers at all. I really don't. But if they start talking to me about something, if I'm having lunch or something like that, you know, I'll talk to them that I'm a believer and that I'm a Christian and a born-again Christian, that, you know, that I've given my heart to Jesus. But the fact is, when I have a lot of my customers that are Jewish people. I have rabbis and I have unbelievers, and I love them just as much as I love my Christian customers.
That's great, Gary. Really, that's fantastic. And I think that is what a melting pot is, what our country is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Lauren Boebert is not about a melting pot.
That's she's not.
Unfortunately, that is the biggest problem, too. That is the biggest problem.
There are far too many people on the right and the far right who are all about, we are a Christian country. We need to be a Christian country. I can play you sound clip after sound clip after sound clip of Kevin Roberts from the Heritage Foundation. We talked about that a lot yesterday, which is behind Project 2025, saying that is the goal, to establish Christianity. And I've seen other of these guys say people who aren't Christians shouldn't be elected officials in America.
Or we can convert them.
Or they have to leave.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump has talked about having a biblical test for immigrants. That's not what our country was founded on. Unless I'm remembering things incorrectly.
Donald Trump is a flawed candidate. I am a MAGA. I am Republican. I used to be Democrat most of my life until recently I changed. But the thing is, the candidates that we have, both of them are very flawed, in my opinion. Okay. And this thing about, I do want to bring up one other thing real fast. You guys play this commercial about Eric Huffke, and he wants old people should die and they shouldn't have a right to vote because they're only going to live 6 months. Call Eric Huffke in your California number. I call that California number, and it's really sad. I said, I want to talk to Eric. They got this commercial in Wisconsin, said I can talk to Eric. And they laugh at me. They say, he's not here. He's running for Senate in Wisconsin. And then I keep calling back and keep calling back, and he keep telling me the same thing.
Well,
and it says, call Eric Huffke at his California number. And you know what, Greg? I keep calling, and he's never there.
Well, that because he's usually on vacation in California then. But
Gary, we got a break coming up, too. Thank you very much. And I genuinely do appreciate you listening. And I know that you say that you're MAGA, but I think you are far kinder and more accepting than many of the other people in that tribe.
And that you allow that label to be a part of your life just doesn't make sense to me. You seem far more open-minded than that group does.
And if you're, you know, you don't, I was raised Catholic. The whole,
me too.
You know, judge not lest ye be judged, and let he who is out without sin cast the first stone, and all that stuff. And I hear that, but I do not see a lot of people who are MAGA embracing those values.
And a lot of, and the people, especially the people in power.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. We have news coming up.
Yeah.
And then when we return, California guy, speaking of.
Yeah.
He wants to debate more. Let's have more debates.
Please. Yes.
And then we're going to talk about Pat Kreitlow. You were on with him this morning. Mm-hmm. Has a new term for Eric Hovde. I'm so jealous. I did not think of it. I'm hurt, actually.
Aww.
So news is next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, where you can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Baseball today, Rangers at the Brewers at 12:35. You can listen to the game. It doesn't stream because of various Major League Baseball rules, but you can listen to it on WRCE in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, and catch today's game, 98Q Country WCQM in beautiful Park Falls, 98.3 FM. Brewers and the Rangers today at 12:35. You were there last night.
Looking to sweep. I was there last night. I was there the night before. Baby!
Are you going tonight?
No, it's an afternoon game. I'm not.
Oh, that's right.
But no, I'm good.
They might need you.
That's true. I mean, when I was there on Monday, Rhys Hoskins did hit a grand slam. So, and then last night, they won. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of like the good luck charm.
The Greg the Lucky Charm.
I feel like I should just do all of my work from remotely from American Family Field. I can, you know, I'll be on the show.
Sure.
I'll be on the show. You're welcome, everyone. But I think it's just better if I'm at the game.
It's just the vibe.
You're right. It's
spread the vibe.
Thank you. Jane gets it.
Yeah, of course. We do want to mention this before we talk about California guy and U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. This is good news. At least I think it is. Yeah. Dane County Circuit Judge Everett Mitchell yesterday ordering clerks to allow voters with disabilities that include blindness or a physical disability impairing their dexterity. They can vote electronically, including with a screensaver. This does cover the November 5th election. They still have to be required to return the ballots by mail or in person rather than by mail. Less than 6 months before Wisconsin is set to play a key role in this election. So this is good. And this was legal for a long, long time.
Until
2011, Greg Bach.
Oh, God.
Governor Scott Walker signed a GOP-authored bill restricting electronic voting to only military and overseas voters. So, sorry, Scooter.
Peculiar.
Sorry, that didn't last for you. Although it was in place since 2011.
Well, he's traveling across the state right now with Tommy Thompson. I wonder if Scooter's just in his arms going, they took away my law. They're letting people vote. This is what it's all about, people. This is what it's all about. They want to try to chip away the ability for people to vote little by. There is no reason if you have a disability and you cannot vote in a traditional fashion, you should not be shut out of the process. But this is what they do. They shut you out. And they don't do it by saying you can't vote. They make it difficult so you don't vote. Yes. You make the choice not to vote.
Yes.
That's
throw up enough roadblocks to make it so tough that it's not worth the effort.
No.
This
is ridiculous. And good on the court. And yes, more access to voting.
Absolutely. MyVote.wy.gov, by the way, if you are not sure if you're registered, please register this. It is critically important that we get out and vote. And as boring as it is, the August primary now is going to be very important because of two referenda that have just been put on the ballot that essentially is just going to give more power to the Republican-led legislature in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So we are reaching out to the Wisconsin League of Women Voters. We already talked about this with Dan Schaefer. I think people need to be aware of this and know what's coming and why it is so important. I know we're going to the, it feels like it never ends in Wisconsin and it sort of doesn't, but this is our process. We are a really critically important swing state and we have the power to do things.
Yeah. And unfortunately we have leaders who are like, we can't get this passed in our committee meetings and through bills. So let's just put it on the Constitution. This is the second time in a year. Well, I mean, fourth, if you count each one.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah, we can't get it done through our regular legislative processes because nobody likes this. So we're going to go around it and come up with another way to consolidate more power among our party.
And word it in a way which confuses people or makes people think opposite. And they're like, well, yeah, totally. Because you know how many people I know who voted yes on the last two referendums? Because they're like, oh, this
sounds okay.
This sounds like it makes sense. And they had no idea until you explained it after the fact.
Well, we've talked about this. These are written intentionally murky.
Yeah.
To confuse people.
Yeah.
So with these two that are coming up in the August ballot, I would suggest you vote no.
I would too. And we will have Deborah Cronmiller, hopefully, or someone from League of Women Voters on to talk about it and why. And they have an excellent website, which we always link to, that gives great toolboxes on how to understand, explains to you what's going on. There's no flim-flammery. They explain exactly what's going on. And you can make the choice. But once again, this is a situation where we think it's best to vote no. Because you don't want to take away the power from everybody just because they don't like what you do.
Well, or that the governor is not their choice for governor.
Yeah,
that's exactly not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah.
All right. Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin and California guy Eric Hovde will be debating ahead of the November 5th election. Wisconsin Broadcasters Association announced that they will square off October 18th. That will happen at WMTV in Madison. And it will be shown and broadcast. It will be televised and broadcast on radio throughout the state. Asked whether the senator is considering agreeing to other debates, a spokesman for Hovde said, spokesperson for Tammy Baldwin said, Tammy is looking forward to debate Eric Hovde at the WBA, which will air in every media market across the state this fall. Meanwhile, she'll keep doing what she's always done, showing up in red, blue, purple, urban, suburban, rural communities, talking to working people, taking their voices to Washington. In his statement, Eric Hovde calls on Baldwin to take part in three proposed debates. The people of Wisconsin deserve to hear about the choice they have. I call on Senator Baldwin to explain her record as a career politician responsible for higher inflation. I'm happy to contrast that with my background as a political outsider who will get things done and put Wisconsin ahead of special interests.
Yeah. I am a big fan of what his spokesperson, Ben Vocal said in his statement. He said, Senator Baldwin was happy to support the Biden agenda every step of the way in Washington, but now it has to be led. This led to inflation, open borders, and drug epidemic in Wisconsin. She is ducking the voters that'll ultimately hold her accountable. It is shameful and cowardly, but just like the kind of thing you expect from a career politician that is sold out. Love that. Sold out to special interests and is not for Wisconsin anymore. Who did she sell out to? She sold out to like Big Bridge because she got a bunch of money for bridge repairs. They just announced $1.1 million to a walking, driving bridge.
New pedestrian bridges here in Waukesha.
Yeah.
Here in Waukesha. New pedestrian bridges over Highway 18 to keep walkers, bikers, and drivers safe. This comes from the Baldwin-backed bipartisan infrastructure laws, Rebuilding America with Sustainability and Equity Program. Gosh, they should just make these much shorter named. Do they just have meetings to talk about what they're going to call it, for Pete's sake? Just call it this is a good law.
I was going to say, this is a
good law, bad law.
It's a good deal.
And it kills me that Hovde's spokesperson said that she spends her time ducking voters. Danny Baldwin is on the ground more in Wisconsin than Ron Johnson has in probably the last 7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a break.
We just had the senator on last week to talk about her Stop Bad Mergers Act, which is talking about not only holding businesses accountable when they merge now, but looking at past mergers to learn to have better standards for the future.
And because these companies, you talk about high inflation?
Yeah.
It makes it easy for monopolies to kind of control and manipulate prices, doesn't it, if they control everything?
Absolutely. Huh. And aren't we against monopolies in this country? Isn't that something that we take people to court for? We used to back in the day.
Huh.
And also, it really makes it seem like they're accusing Tammy Baldwin of inflation. It's three counts of murder and two counts of aggravated inflation. You're going to jail, missy.
Andrew in Maine has a comment on the live stream. I would ask Mr. Hovde how he has controlled prices in his businesses, putting affordability before profits.
I mean, he's a property owner. Last time I checked, property owners aren't in the business of helping the people.
No.
No. And
we go back to the fact that so far in any of his ads that I have seen, I have not seen one ad in which Eric Hovde details anything he would actively do. Mm-hmm. To make things better for people in Wisconsin. It's all useless platitudes.
Ben Vogel does the exact same thing that Hovde does in every single one of his ads. He always says, inflation, open borders, drug problems. Okay, perfect. Three things you think are a problem. All right, first thing.
Spell it out.
How are you gonna fix this? Eric Hovde, how do you feel about the bill that Joe Biden helped shepherd to the Congress to help secure the borders that your party voted against? Why? Because your leader said, I got a campaign on this. Don't do it.
Don't fix it. Don't fix it before the election. I need this as an issue.
How do you feel about that? What about the fact that we do have a drug problem in this country? How about, do you support all of the programs that help people who are on drugs? Or are you just about throwing people in jail and letting them rot in prison? Okay, the borders. Oh, I'm sorry. I already talked about the borders. Inflation. What are you going to do about inflation? Probably not a lot, because one person can't do anything. And if you're talking about, like, if you're going to get on Trump's train about tariffs, that ain't going to help either.
And we're going to be talking to someone about that in more detail as well. Donald Trump proposing 10% tariffs across the board and even higher tariffs. And everything I'm seeing now from economists are essentially saying, if Trump gets reelected, the average American household can plan to shell out an extra $1,700 a year.
Yeah.
Because of the higher prices we are going to have to pay on these tariffs.
Yep.
China doesn't pay it, you guys.
No, we do.
We do.
And that's a situation in which the president would be responsible. The president can't control inflation. They can work to make programs that'll help to maybe lower it. He doesn't control gas prices, does not control grocery prices. But when the president comes in and says, I will change the taxing of products coming into this country, you bet your sweet bippy you are going to be paying. And if it's $1,700, that's a healthy chunk of my income, my family's income. So once again, you can talk about open borders, you can talk about drug problems, you can talk about inflation, but what are your nuanced stances? So I guess that's what I want to hear in a debate between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde, because I know Tammy Baldwin will come with a notebook full of solutions.
And things that she's done for her constituents.
Yeah.
Do we have time, Calvin, to play one of those completely real and totally legitimate attack ads? Let's rack that up before we have to go to a quick break.
Wisconsin's two U.S. senators couldn't be more different. Democrat Tammy Baldwin keeps getting things done for her constituents. She helped secure funding for infrastructure projects like the Blatnik Bridge and made sure Wisconsin seniors can afford life-saving insulin. But Republican Senator Ron Johnson knows exactly what needs to happen to make your life better.
I think we'd be far better off if we never passed another piece of legislation.
This November, elect the wealthy California guy who sits in frozen lakes. Just like Senator Johnson, he'll work hard when he gets to Washington, just not for you.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Completely real. Totally legitimate.
Yes.
Super PAC. We got nothing else. Pat Kreitlow has a new nickname for the California guy. I am so jealous. I did not think of this myself. We are going to share it with you in just a moment. So if you can, stay with us. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. You can also text us at 855-752-4842 and keep it close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are you trying to save me? Or can I be your friend, my lonely life? Hey, y'all are on your way. And everything that I need is just right. Say, why are you trying to save me? Or can I be your friend, my lonely life?
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, send us a text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. We were talking about California guy Eric Hovde wanting U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin to debate him more than once. They're going to be debating in October, and he wants more. And I know you and Pat Kreitlow were talking about that a little bit this morning. And please share with the class the new nickname that Pat came up with for Eric Hovde.
Eric Hovde, California businessman and professional rake stepper.
That is so good. I am so jealous. I did not think of that.
And he didn't even announce it either. He just said it like it was a common thing.
Yeah, it was a regular part of the intro. It was great.
And that's what I loved even more, was because it was just like, yeah, you know, California professional and a professional rake stepper, Eric Hovde. I'm like, oh my God, that's genius.
And by the way, we do want to compliment Eric Hovde's campaign manager. Keep doing what you're doing,
yeah,
dude.
Keep doing it.
You are knocking it out of the park. And I couldn't be more impressed.
Lake sitting, axe throwing, walking down streets, telling us in like 7 to 12 ads that he's from Wisconsin, his wife telling us he's from Wisconsin, pictures of him in Wisconsin, a mustache shaving debate and election. I mean, he's about free and fair elections, that Eric Hovde. And I think at this point he was willing to accept the results of that election, which was to keep the mustache.
Thank goodness.
Eric Hovde, Your campaign staff, brava. Oh, chef's kiss.
So good.
Just keep it going.
Don't stop what you're doing. Just keep on with that momentum. I think you got it going.
He's got the mo, kid. He's got that mo.
He's got the mo. The presidential debate is tomorrow night,
correct,
of course. And we will be doing Terry Bell, our news director here at Civic Media, along with the highly qualified and friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. We'll be starting things off at 7:30. The debate itself starts at 8 o'clock, and then it is set to last about 90 minutes. No live studio audience. They are going to mute the mics of the person who is not speaking, which I think is great.
Yeah.
I am delighted by that. we'll see how well that works.
If SNL was on the air right now, I would write this and just have Donald Trump have one of those, like, you know,
Mr. portable mic.
Exactly, exactly. Just pull it out. It's like, I am Donald Trump, and I am here to tell you Joe Biden took the election.
Well, and now you know what the whole rights thing is oh, he's going to be, President Biden will be all drugged up.
Yeah, that's...
They're going all over on Fox and Newsmax, and our anticipation is that he's going to be heavily medicated. Oh, okay. And that is based on what?
What proof? Who? Raise your hand if your White House was busted for being basically a drug mill. That's where Donald Trump would raise his hand, because that's what happened.
Ron, and that got skipped over. So we were one of the only ones who talked about that.
I mean,
when that came out about Ronnie Jackson, not Johnson, Ronnie Jackson. Yeah, dispensing pills like he was the candy man when he was in the White House. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, we want to have just a little fun with tomorrow night's debate.
Yeah.
So, and we'll keep this going through today and even through the show tomorrow. We need a drinking game.
It's Wisconsin.
It is Wisconsin. We need to have some kind of presidential debate drinking game. So we need the keywords. When you hear it,
yeah,
you have to take a drink.
Keywords. Key phrases.
Anything like that. What is the cue for Donald Trump? What would the cue word be for President Biden?
Yeah. Feel free to, let's do this. How about instead of calling, because we're actually about to go to the bottom of the hour or to the top of the next hour, just text us. Text us 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or text us through the app if you have it, because you can download that right now for free. Get it on your phone. Text us your thoughts on their cues. Is it, you know, rigged? Is it, you know, what was yours for Biden? It was come on man. I think that possibly they might bust. I think Joe Biden might, just might, because it's the presidential election. I think he might bust out of malarkey.
Tony Zimmerman just put that on the live stream. right as you were saying it, great minds think alike.
There it is.
Beautiful. Malarkey.
Beautiful. So, and not only what trigger words, what's the drink value? Is it like, this is a drink of a beer?
Is this a sip?
Like a lot of politicians, when you ask them a question, they'll say this. Look, they'll start with look, and then they'll go into, just, if you have never noticed that, notice how many times a politician says the word look. That might just be a drink of beer.
I don't even think that qualifies.
Really?
No, I think it's too common. Tom from New Berlin texting in with come on, man, for Biden. Trump's word would be huge.
Huge. Let's see. Laura from Wisconsin Rapids said, quote unquote, listen, President Biden loves to start an emotional bit with now listen. It's definitely a shot.
I like that.
Sue from Franklin, not words, but when Trump does his accordion thing with his hand, I'll be dead.
Oh, if Sue.
I'll be dead. If I drink to every time he does it, I'll just be dead.
Yeah, we'll all be dead, and we'll be dead in the first 20 minutes with the accordion hands. No.
So, yeah, keep texting those ideas in. What are the
trigger words?
The trigger words for Biden and for Trump at tomorrow night's election that would be, and what would the drink value be?
Tony also says, my dad used to say, for President Biden. That's fair.
Yeah.
I think that would be fair. Malarkey, though.
I think
malarkey is like a 5-point word.
Yeah, that's the one ring to rule them all. That is the one you want to get. If we can get a malarkey, I feel like he will switch some voters if he does malarkey, because it's just so darn charming.
And it's so him.
It's so him.
It really would be like Governor Evers, you know, saying jeepers, right?
Oh, gosh.
Or yeah.
Oh, I'm mad now.
So keep texting in your suggestions for our presidential debate drinking game. If you want to send in your keywords that we should be listening for, we can, you know, kind of work up kind of a bingo card or something. Presidential debate bingo.
Oh, man. We're turning this into a thing now.
Laura from Wisconsin Rapids, listening on WFHR, says malarkey is a chug. You got to chug a beer.
Chug. Oh,
for malarkey.
I'm going to take it up one higher one. You got a shotgun it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Matt from Richland Center, listening on WRCE from Trump for Trump. No one understands blank more than I do.
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, I think another one for Donald Trump might be like, they're saying.
Everyone, many people are saying.
Many people are saying.
So much potential. Oh. So much potential. All right, news is coming up next. And when we return, friend of the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here. We're going to be talking about the aftermath, the 2-year aftermath of the overturning of Roe and the fall of the Dobbs decision. News is next, so stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You know what happiness is.